But one of the other data sets that was presented by my colleague Craig Moskowitz at ASH, and we talked about it again yesterday, was a sequential chemotherapy program that we developed at Memorial, which was rituximab and CHOP in a dose-dense fashion. We gave four cycles of this treatment and then repeated a PET scan. And then based on the PET scan, patients, if they had a negative PET scan, they went on to receive three cycles of ICE chemotherapy. If they had a positive PET scan, we actually biopsied everybody. And this is where the surprise was. In this study, the 27 of the 31 biopsies that we did were negative. And the patients with a negative biopsy had exactly the same outcome as those patients who had a negative PET scan and who weren't biopsied. The patients who had a positive biopsy and a positive PET scan, they actually did somewhat worse, but it was actually very few patients. I think the important take-home lesson here, and this actually, I think, has a big impact on clinical practice, is that as we change therapy and as we add agents, and that there's a good suggestion that two factors contributed significantly to our false positive rate. That was the addition of rituximab and the dose-dense therapy. And these two factors independently, it turns out, probably contribute to the risk of false positive PET scans. And the early data on interim PET scanning was so black and white that if you were positive, you were doomed to failure, that it captivated many practicing oncologists, and they immediately latched on to the idea that if your PET scan after four cycles of CHOP or R-CHOP was positive, you were doomed and you should go on to transplant. Our data suggests that you have to be a little bit more careful. Certainly, you should never change therapy based on a PET scan result. And if you absolutely have to, you should do a biopsy. But my caution for the practicing oncologist is that unless we know that intervention with another treatment at the time of that positive PET scan with a positive biopsy is going to change the patient's outcome, I'm not so sure the interim PET scan is even necessary to do. It's an expensive test. So the message that I hope I left with the practicing clinicians last night was that I wanted to get across that interim PET scanning is still a moving target. It's an investigational tool. And until we know that by getting that and changing treatment based on that result, we're going to improve patients' outcome, I think it's a source of a lot of angst for patients and a lot of confusion for practicing physicians to get the interim PET scan and then to make a lot of treatment decisions based on it.